This morning's reading is taken from the beginning of Genesis, beginning Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants on trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
As you know, as I speak a number of times, context is vital. But context not just where the passage is or the verses around a particular passage, but what kind of context, what story, what narrative are you living in? And that's the point of this book by Joe Swinney, The Whole Christmas Story, is to remind ourselves of the whole story, that these few verses in the gospel. Yeah, remember, the gospel is just one gospel, four books. And in them, that's just a few verses quite often we focus on, rather than remembering the whole story that we live in, the story that starts in Genesis and finishes in the book of Revelation. If somebody asked you, what story, what narrative do you live in? In other words, what's the biblical overview story that we live in? What would you answer? And remember, I'm asking for an elevator speech, which means 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, could you explain to somebody, this is the story I live in. This is the narrative that I believe about the world and about God. If you can't do an elevator speech in 2 minutes doing that, hopefully by the end of the series you can. Because that's what we're going to be looking at. What story do we live in? And I get the pleasure of doing Made Good this week. Andy gets the bad news next week. But I get the good news this week of we are made good. And just, I do want to do a spoiler alert. Remember, everything is restored and made good again in the book of Revelation. So the bookends of our story is good. A good God. Creation good. And again, restored to its, I think, even better than its original design when we looked at the book of Revelation. And so we're going to be looking at questions like, who is Jesus and what is his cosmic significance? Not just this baby who was born to be with us, but what's the impact on the whole cosmos? Who was he to the generations who came and went before his birth? But more importantly, I think for now, who is he to us? Who is Jesus to you today? And why did God take on human form? And what did he do with the now? And what do we do with the now and not yet of kingdom? Because I think that's really hard. That's why I've kind of postponed the spiritual gifts of healing and miracles. Because we have seen, I mean, I've had a miracle, as you know, in my life, where my knees were just miraculously healed and I was no longer a cripple and able to do 30 treks in the Himalayas. But it was 10 years before I got that healing. And there's other people who never get their healing on this planet. And it's hard, isn't it, to work out the now and not yet of God's kingdom. And yet we know that the trajectory is good being restored to good. Yeah, that's the story we live in. Maybe it doesn't feel like that. And certainly that's not what is projected on the news every day, is it? This is the story you live in. You are made good, creation's good, and you're going to be restored to good. I've never heard that on a news item. Yeah, but that is the story we live in. That's why we've got good news. That's this Advent message. Yeah, that's why Jesus came. So, again, I'm going to be using quite a lot from this book. And if you want to follow along, you will be studying it in home groups. And I've sent the information out about the home groups this morning, ready in preparation for what you will be doing with them. But I wonder, under what circumstances would you consider putting your life at risk to rescue someone else's? See, the answer to that question is determined by the value you place on the person needing rescuing. Do you see that? Yeah? And do you remember in 2018 the Thailand story where 12 boys and a coach were trapped, do you remember, down the caves for 9 days? 10,000 people went to help. It took 10,000 divers, rescue workers, soldiers, police officers and more to actually rescue these 12 boys and the coach. And each of these people had decided that they were worth rescuing. Do you know what I mean? That was the value that they placed on these boys and this coach. But I don't think it's reported much in the news. One person actually lost their life in that rescue. But that's the value that they had placed on the life of these boys and on the coach. Yeah? I think you know where I'm going with this. But the idea is God values his creation. He valued it so much that he set up a rescue plan even before the foundation of the world. But it's amazing, isn't it, that the rescue plan that we know is starts at Christmas, but the whole story starts here, but the rescue plan at Christmas that we celebrate, most of humanity at that time rejected it, didn't they? And actually, the majority of humanity continues to reject the rescue plan that God has put in place. And he's wanting to rescue all of creation because he created it good and put so much value on us. And if you think about it, this rescue plan cost Jesus an awful lot, didn't it? I think it's that humility required of him to give up being God, you know, take that and just hold that there and then actually become a tiny, vulnerable baby. I'm on Auntie Nanny duty from tonight and through tomorrow afternoon. The first time, don't tell them, my nephew, but it's the first time I've ever looked after a one-year-old on my own. But yeah, and yeah, it could be entertaining. Pray for me, please. I've forgotten where I was going with that. I'm just panicking now in my head. Do you know what I mean about doing that? But do you know what I mean? The babies are vulnerable, aren't they? You know, and I just sort of think, oh my goodness, Jesus, God was willing to come down as that tiny baby in humility. He was willing to go through pain and suffering and the cost required to rescue us. Why? Because he values you. He values us, and not just us, but his whole creation so very much. And he values it because it is good. He created it good. And I wonder, do you have a way to remind yourself about how good God is and how wonderful and good his creation is, including you? Or do you find yourself forgetting the story that we live in, forgetting how God designed you to be, forgetting about creation being created very good, forgetting that God is good? And that, in a sense, is the point of reading and reminding ourselves of the beginning of the story this morning. Jesus came, as we know, to rescue his creation that was good, that he valued so highly and loved so very much. And as we just heard, God made the world, and when he made it, it was perfect. Ordered, harmonious, beautiful, good. And there were boundaries between water and dry ground. I think they've been lost on the brooks this weekend. There were rhythms that were created to enable us to live well. There was a night and day created. There was weeks and months and seasons and years created to enable us to live well in his good creation. Species were differentiated and behave according to their design. Beautiful plants were set in place. God didn't need to give us color. He didn't need to give us such variety, but he chose to. And good God looked at it all and pronounced, remember, as David read, it was very good. And it's very good because God is good. God's design for you and me, for humanity, is a home, something similar to a garden, full of everything we need to thrive. A world where humanity, animals, and plants live in harmony, a place of fresh water, good food to eat, and that place when you sort of sit down and think, yeah, actually all is right with the world. That's why we get so upset when things aren't, because that's not how they were designed to be. I hope you get upset when things aren't as they were designed to be, because that's you saying, this isn't God's kingdom. But I can pray and I can ask the Lord to do something about this, because I recognize this isn't how he designed us to be. This isn't how he designed creation to be. He made it very good. But if we forget that, all we're looking at and all we're seeing is the pollution that we've caused. All we're seeing is the wars that are taking place. All we see is the fallenness of humanity, as opposed to reminding ourselves our bookend of our story is good. So all I want to give you this morning is a few ways to remind yourself that God is good. And I think some of you already do this. And so it might be a case of tick. Yeah, I do that. I remember God's good. Or it might be, I never thought of that, actually. And one of them you may have thought of, you may not have thought of. But I think the first one, you probably know this verse from Romans. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." One of the ways that God reminds us of his goodness is through his marvelous, wonderful creation. And it reveals his character. I don't know about you, but I just stood and watched as the brooks, the River Arun broke over into the brooks, because I can see that from the back of my house, and listened to that rushing water and just watched. And as so many birds, different variety of birds, were having just a ball on the brooks, you know, and it was noisy with the birds as well as the rushing of water. It was just so stunning. And I stood there and just, I couldn't stop myself saying, oh my goodness, what a creation, Lord. if I'm really honest with you, I miss living by the sea. These girls just, I mean, you know, right by the sea. And every time it's a place where I go and I just marvel at his creation. That reminds us of the good God who created this wonderful, beautiful, astonishing creation. I know that one of my friends, she says that she needs to see green. When she's in green, it kind of just restores her soul. And it makes you again remember that God is good and his creation was created good. Maybe when you look at a flower or a sunrise or a sunset. Yeah. Can we turn that awe and that wonder and that marveling into worship and worthy of our wonderful good God who has created everything? So the first way is to clearly look at creation, remind yourself of God's goodness, remind yourself of the story that we live in. And the second way, it's through stories, it's through testimonies. You know, it was brilliant for Sue to come this morning and just remind us that God heals people from addiction. Isn't that phenomenal? Yeah? God still wants us to thrive as he created us initially to be and to do. Testimonies, stories are so powerful. I remember, I mean, I grew up in a household believing in God's goodness, in his miracles, in his power. As you know, we used to smuggle Bibles into Europe. My younger sister was 2 at the time, and we borrowed somebody's VW van. And actually, my younger sister sat on the Bibles, and she was so cute. She is still today, but I mean, so cute that, you know, they searched the whole van and didn't sit on what looked like a booster box, but actually in there and under there were the Bibles. And she just smiled at them, and the guards used to just move on. But we were in the middle of the mountains in Austria. And she fell out from the top, you know, the front seat. She fell out of it and bashed her head, and it was really badly damaged. And I remember my father just saying, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing else we can do, but we're going to pray. And as a family, we just watched the Lord heal. And I promise you, my sister, the bang on the head hasn't affected her. She is okay today. But, you know, I just sort of thinking, these are the stories that I grew up with. I knew that God was good because I'd seen him bring about goodness even when disasters had happened in our families. And my prayer is that you keep recalling and have stories in your family and amongst your friends to remind you that God is good. I think I've told you before, I've got a Paddington-sized suitcase. It was my nan's. They used to take nothing away with them, did they? Do you know what I mean? Like, that is the size of the suitcase you used to have. And in there, I have just reminders of the goodness of God while I was in Nepal. Just little reminders of different things. I said, I want to remember how good God was in this situation. Remember, I lived through civil war, through betrayal, through a lot of nightmares, through earthquakes. And yet every time, to be honest with you, a number of times, I was like, God, I cannot see your goodness in this. However, I know I'm not at the end of the story because I haven't seen your goodness in this yet. But I know I will see good come from this situation. And so I'm trusting in your goodness here. Revelation 12:11 says, they, that's us, we triumph over Satan, one, by the blood of the Lamb, but 2, by the word of our testimony. How often are you sharing with those around you or with your neighbors? Or I tend to do it with strangers. Sometimes it's easier, isn't it? The testimony of God's goodness. Because as we share it, not only are we reminded of his goodness, but we are letting others know that we were designed to be made good. We were designed not to die. But all of this goodness will be restored at the end. That's the story that we live in. And I think that's good news. The third one, this might be a surprise to you. I pray that, like me, for a couple, I haven't seen many, but I've seen a few that I think, wow, that really, really represents the goodness of God. And you'll find it if you do take on the book. But the third way that God demonstrates his goodness and who he is designed through marriage. No wonder Satan attacks marriage so much. Marriage is designed by God to reflect his intimate love and goodness. It's the place, remember, where it's to show others this is the relationship between Christ and his church. Isn't that phenomenal? And Paul talks about that, doesn't he? That it's the mystery of that. And I think it is a bit of a mystery. But I wonder how many people look at, you know, your marriage or you're looking at your children's marriages or whatever and just sort of thinking, wow, that really reflects the intimate love and goodness of God. Sometimes you see that. I mean, actually, to be honest with you, you can look at a number of the Christmas movies this time, can't you? And it is that goodness that you can see as romance blossoms and things go really well after a little bit of a disaster. But marriage is designed to reflect the love and goodness of God. And I think, you know, part of the Bible studies that I've set this week is really to pray for marriages. And it's something that I have prayed over. I've had the pleasure of doing a couple of the marriage ceremony, or three actually, of my nephews and nieces. And this is something that I've prayed over them and talked to them about in preparation, that your marriage reflects the goodness of God. It reflects that relationship within God and his church. Remember, Genesis 2 says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and because they are designed to become one flesh. We are designed to become one with Christ. Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. That's the relationship. That's the good news that Jesus offers us. Do you want to go through life feeling no shame? Shame. And then Ephesians 5, 31 to 32 says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Marriage is designed to reflect God's goodness and love. And fourthly, you and I, we are designed to reflect God's goodness and love. We're made in his image. We were designed to be good. We're designed to also have a purpose and reflect God's goodness through being fruitful, through multiplying God's kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. And we are designed to produce, to work in partnership with God, to rule this earth. I think as David was reading it this time, I hadn't seen how many times in the last bit of Genesis 1, you are designed to rule, to have dominion, to take care of, to look after. You are designed to do this. And as we do that, we reflect the goodness of God. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. We represent a good God by how we behave and what we do. And I don't know about you, I've only had 18 months in my working history where I did not work. And I felt, to be honest with you, unproductive, and I wasn't actually doing what God had designed me to do. And then I realized I was taking care of my mother. I was unpaid work. But this was vital work. In fact, I helped a church in New Haven because I had time, because I was still recovering from my coming back from the mission field. So we are designed to work, whether it's paid or unpaid. We are designed to do good in partnership with God. Our daily purpose is not only to worship God, but to reflect his goodness to those around us, to reflect God's love, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, to reflect his joy, his peace, and right relationships in the Holy Spirit of his kingdom. I wonder whether you think about this. I mean, I've read a number of books where people manage to do this. But, you know, are you reflecting God's goodness by the way you wash up? By the way you cook, by the way you bake, by the way when you go shopping, are you reflecting his goodness? While you're sitting in the doctor's waiting room, having waited 20 minutes longer than the appointment said, are you reflecting God's goodness? Are you reflecting God's goodness in a staff meeting or working on a project? Am I reflecting God's goodness in writing a sermon? Every aspect of our lives, we are designed to reflect God's goodness. And that is a reminder to us and to those around us. But I think part of this rescue plan is, and as I say, Andy's going to talk about this next week, we were designed to be good, but something happened. And without Jesus' rescue plan, we cannot again reflect that goodness to the world. We cannot again see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need Jesus and his Spirit. Because when we receive Jesus and his Spirit, you're not going to feel the busyness and burden of life. That's his promise, isn't it? He says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. He has designed us with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Trinity helping us, connecting us to Father God. He has designed us again to experience the goodness of life. Remember, new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. He has designed us to be able to reflect that goodness, but we can't do it in our own strength. We have to have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he's come and he's already put that into place. We can do all these things. We can reflect his goodness to the world. We can share our testimonies of his goodness because Jesus came and rescued us. That's our story. That's our narrative. You are made good. You're made in the image of God to reflect his goodness with Christ and his Spirit. You can do that. Your choice. So to conclude, I wonder, how are you feeling about this Advent time, this Christmas period? Are you feeling stretched in too many directions, stressed about the tasks ahead, worried about your money or health or lack of work or lack of time, lack of energy? What is actually going through your head? You're thinking, are you thinking, Advent, I can share God's goodness. I can give testimony. I am good. I'm going to share all this goodness with others. Or is that not what's going through your head at this moment in time? But what if, Paul Warbrook's Baptist Church, what if family, friends, and neighbors look at us this Christmas and marvel at how easy we are finding life? Because our burden is light and our yoke is easy. What if people found us marveling at God's creation, sharing our testimonies of God's goodness, demonstrating Christ's love relationship with the church through our marriages and through our relationships? And what if we continue to reflect God's goodness and the true purpose of humanity this December with all that we come into contact with? It's a what if, isn't it? But that's how we were designed to be. That's who we were created to be. And so my prayer is that we can do these what ifs and therefore make an impact on all those that we meet, whether friend, family, neighbor, or stranger. Part of making discipleship, there's 6 M's that I'm trying to learn from the LICC. This is again from LICC, this program, the London Institute of Christian something or other. But we know we're trying to follow those 6 M's of making disciples. And one is model godly character in actions, words, and thoughts. Make good work, do everything for the glory of God, and minister grace and love. That's who we were designed to be. That's who we were designed to be. Can we be this in our community this Advent season and share the testimonies of how good and amazing our God is? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the reminder this morning that all of creation was made good. And it was made good because you are a good God. And as we've heard this morning, you promise to those who love you to bring good from whatever situation they are facing. Lord, I pray that we would see your goodness in creation, that we would reflect your goodness in our relationships. We would share about your goodness this season. And we would remember that this whole rescue plan, because you value us so much and your creation, has already been instigated thousands of years ago through the coming of Jesus. And that we are on a trajectory to that goodness of God being fully restored within us and on this earth again. Lord, I pray that this season, despite what we're hearing on the news or listening to from others, we can remember that we live in a story about a good God who wants to give us good things and for us to reflect his goodness on this earth. Help us, help us, help us, Spirit. Help us, Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.